Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You know, we're just talking about, are the Browns waiting for 2026?
Yeah, yeah. And all these different mock drafters that are already putting out, or one mock drafter that's already putting out his three-round mock.
Not just that. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah is going through his scouting reports for quarterbacks, meaning like where they are going into what could be their last season. He had very kind things to say about Medina native Drew Aller.
So it's interesting you bring him up, because I also saw, again, maybe this is the time where people are discussing these type of things. I saw Matt Miller talking about Drew as well and saying how complicated of a quarterback he is to diagnose and dissect.
I just think what's funny about it is I think the narrative on him is he isn't that good. And if you watched him, honestly, if you just look at his stats, his stats look really, really good. 66% completion percentage last year, 30 total touchdowns, 8 INTs. But if you actually watch him, like the whole point of the NFL draft is you can be a good college quarterback and no one think you're an NFL quarterback. I think Drew's the opposite of that. I think he is a emerging quarterback that continues to get better every year he plays at Penn State. And if he takes another jump like last year, the Browns better have the number one pick if they want to get him, because that's where he's going to go.
So right now, the mock that we referenced last year had him going 35th overall and ending up with the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. But they had him as a second-round pick, and I'm interested to find out how much that changed with Drew. I think a lot of people are scared of what happened in the playoff game. If I'm just being honest about it, I think they saw the playoff game. I think they saw deer in the headlights in certain moments, and I think a lot of people that were buying really high into Drew all of a sudden are retreating back.
So I think this is, I'm so glad you said that, because probably my favorite thing that anyone said in the Daniel Jeremiah scouting report, one of his big things was, you know, he had strong tight end room, strong running back room, strong O-line room. But when he went back and watched the separation of the wide receivers, mm-hmm. they just had nothing around him. And I think that makes it really hard, especially if you're not like in your last year of starting. I think if you're limited with playmakers around you, which he was, I want to say one of their best wide receiver playmakers was Julian Fleming, former Ohio State wide receiver. I think it makes it really hard to showcase what I think makes him so good, which is things like anticipatory throwing and arm strength.
So he's very big, obviously, and he's got a lot going for him in that respect. Matt Miller was diving into, and you tell me if you think this is a fair critique or not, okay? The mm-hmm. idea that his mental makeup maybe isn't all there and his decision-making is, quote, very hit or miss, mm-hmm. especially against the top opponents.
Yeah, I mean, he's second year of starting, and he came into college as a very raw player because they started him super early.
So these are some of the things, though, that I do think translates very well for having another season. And so, like, I think in this next year, he can clean up some of that, and he can show you a lot, and maybe it does see his draft stock rise.
I see it clear as day. I think he's going to be top. If you said, let's put money on...
So many quarterbacks right now we're discussing. So go ahead. If you put money, go ahead.
If you put money on who's guaranteed to be a top three pick next year, Drew would be at the top of it. He's got the build. He's got the projectability. Not just projectability into the NFL, into another year in college. He's not the most athletic guy, but he's kind of like Flacco in that he can move more than people give him credit for. I also think he's going to really fit the system of Stefanski still here. And I think he's kind of the quarterback that you've been waiting for. I like Klubnik. I actually think Klubnik's also underrated, and he's got a butt ton of experience in college.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sellers is really intriguing.
I like Sellers a lot, right? Early returns, I like him a lot.
He might be a guy, though, next year that we think needs another year in college.
He could easily be the type of guy that I look up a year from now and be like, what did I see in that guy? I could say 5 weeks into the season, I could say that same statement too. Like, he's somebody I need to see more of, but I do like.
And I don't think Arch is coming out next year.
Right.
So
what about Nussmeier?
He's just kind of a, like, really, really good football player. Where's the elite trait? Like, the whole point of being a top three pick is, all right, elite arm, elite this, elite that. And the whole intangibles thing is still one of the most projectable, meaning people project intangibles on a guy,
mm-hmm,
or they subtract intangibles. And I think it's really hard to tell unless you're in the moment with that player, unless you're in the room or in the huddle with that player. Some of it you can tell, but I think some of it's an absolute shoot. Some of it is a, hey, he just got put in the perfect situation, or hey, he got put in a bad situation. And that's my only fear with Drew. I would never wish for a top-rated quarterback. I would never wish them on Penn State. I think James Franklin is a joke of a talent development talent developer on the offensive side. I don't think he's I know Kotelnik is supposed to be their offensive coordinator, supposed to be this wunderkind. Doesn't matter. His head coach is a dummy. Like, by the way, I think James would be a really good NFL head coach because I think he's a CEO. I don't think he's working out in. I think he's doing just enough to keep his job every year, and I think he's surviving on getting a lot of upper echelon talent. Because it's Penn State and because there's a lot of money there.
Yeah.
I think that's my only concern about Drew this year is, and again, thinking of guys like Christian Hackenberg, who Penn State just ruined.
I loved Hackenberg. Miller's top five: Cade Nussmeier, Fernando Mendoza, and a name we hadn't discussed.
That would be another. He might be second to Drew Aller.
And then Sellers, and then Aller at fifth overall.
But specific to the quarterbacks, to bring it back to the 2026 quarterback class.
Yeah.
I do think that for him to end up in Cleveland next year, and let's say the Browns have the number one pick, I don't think it's just good enough to be, like, if this was like the 2018 draft, where it's like beauty's in the, I think Baker's the number one pick, I think Sam's the number one pick, I think Josh Allen's the number one pick. I think he'll get lost in the Cleveland conversation, usually being a hometown kid goes in your favor. I just think there's much more, because people in Ohio have watched Drew more, whereas Mitchell Trubisky played at North Carolina, and there's not a damn person around here that wasn't you, me, or like three other people that watched ACC football. So him being far away helped him. I think the nearness, playing in the Big Ten, and certainly playing against Ohio State, I think hurts Drew.
Interesting.
I think he has to be far and away the best quarterback in this class. I mean,
we always end up stumping for the local kid. That usually ends up happening.
Yeah, but I think specific to the Trubisky thing, I think it's because you knew Mitchell, but you didn't watch him play in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're almost going to be too familiar with Drew. And by the way, I think to a point that is unfair. I already think the word that I hear, like when I've talked with my friends about, and I say friends, I'm talking about anybody out in public. Hey, who's the quarterback next year? I guess it's going to be Drew Aller. I think he's going to be in the mix. Oh, I hope not. He's awful. Really? He's this. That.
Was that just the playoff game? Because it did a lot for me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Like, I mean, it's the Ohio State game too.
I was okay. That's fair too. But I was very open minded towards Drew, and I watch a lot of Penn State football in general, just because it's always on. But like I mean, he was, and it was fine. He was good in the Boise State game. Everyone watched that game. He's good at the Boise State game. Well, we just don't take Boise State serious at all.
What was the thing after the Boise State game? Hey, if he has two more games like this, he should declare for the first round.
I think the real problem, he didn't necessarily light up SMU or anything like that, but it was SMU into Boise State, and we just don't take those teams very serious.
No, I think that's totally fair. And
then he gets against Notre Dame, and he just didn't look good.
And here's the thing. I think we confuse, what a first-round quarterback looks like. You're looking at traits. You're not looking at, man, he really balled out against LSU. That helps. But, like, I think we're almost holding the fact that Drew played early in his career against him, and I hate that. Because, like, yeah, he played as a redshirt freshman. Joe Burrow didn't play in college until he was in his, fourth year in college, and he was bad. And it took another year to make that jump.
Yeah.
Joe was a grown-ass man by the time he came to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Drew still kind of skews in the younger side.
No, the weird part about Drew, though, is that like his first year, I think he only had a couple interceptions the entire season. Like,
even
he was
last
very good. Well, he was very, very
good.
He had
8 INTs last year.
I know, but he was almost like Aaron Rodgers-esque when it comes to just not throwing picks at all. And I think that's where some of the guys like Matt Miller get on him for some of those interceptions that happened last year and some of the decision-making. Because you didn't see that as rookie year.
Well, but what's wild about it is it was only 8 INTs, which in the Panthers, like, if he, I don't want to say he was their offense because he benefited from a really, really great run game. But, like, they're not in the playoffs without Drew. If you put a inferior quarterback in that spot, I don't really in a good Big Ten last year. I don't know how many games Penn State wins. And honestly, I think what's going to help him this year is I think the Big Ten is better at quarterback than anyone realizes.
Hmm.
Like you've got, and listen, if I said the names, most people are, but like.
I mean, there should be just by the idea that we have expanded conferences and everything else like that.
Well, Mendoza going to IU.
Yeah.
That the casual fan, you guys might not know that name yet. By the end of this year, you will. And I think that will age itself really well. The kid, Rayola from Nebraska. I'm just going to start mentioning.
Patrick Mahomes clone?
I'm just going to, the McClones.
Oh.
It's a little clunky, but it kind of gets you clunky. There.
Dylan wishes. He wishes.
He does wish.
That's his dream.
Yeah.
I like how Mahomes has started to distance himself from him, by the way, after not very good season.
By the way, hurts your draftability. I want to look like, dress like, walk like, talk like Patrick Mahomes. It's a little too single white female for me.
I think he was just hoping that if people just squinted enough, they'd be like, oh, maybe. Maybe.
I don't think you're wrong.
You got
wrong.
The hair? You got the number? You wear the number?
Like, I don't you're think
wearing
you're wrong.
You're even wearing red because Nebraska.
But what do you think about? I really do think this is going to be the time.
I'm worried about Drew. I think there's a lot there that is to like. But I'm so hesitant to be like, let's say one thing or another off someone like that that's got a whole season in front of
him. But I think what you just said there, I think more people are where you are, which is you're preset at, I don't want to say negative, but where you're set at a deficit with a player. And that's why I think like, I don't think it's just good enough. I think, especially with NFL teams, I think NFL teams have the same familiarity issues that we have. The one you don't know, you don't criticize as much as the one you do know. I think Drew's going to have to be.
We were looking for him to do anything in that Notre Dame game. Like, that's going to be, that. It sucks for him that it happened on that stage. But, like, the entire game, we were looking for him to do something, and it never happened.
Does Drew Aller have to be head and shoulders above the other prospects for the Browns to consider drafting him next year? And you always remember your first. We take a moment to honor a special moment in a young man's life in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You never forget your first. And on Friday's show, we let you in that one of our very own is finally doing it, finally taking the big step that so many young men do in their life. Jake Byrne was playing golf for the first time together. He pulled it off, guys.
Yay, all right.
Proud of you, young man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I knew JP would especially be proud of me because we've talked about golf so much. I know on the night show and everything, and I've explained how much I hate golf, and I said I would never do it. And on Saturday, I went golfing for the first time in my life.
So I need details. Where did you go? What course did you do? An executive course? Did you do what'd you do?
It was a course in Kent. I think it was Twin Oaks, Twin Lakes. One of those two.
You said in Kent?
In Kent.
Okay.
There is a Twin Lakes in that area, and I've played that. That's actually a hard course to start off with.
That's what the guys that went golfing with said.
Yeah, you should have started there.
Yeah, this is a kind of a brutal course.
Now, what's nice about that course, it's relatively cheap, Nick. It's not the most expensive course, but it's a difficult course.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Great setup.
You said the word that you knew I'd like, relatively cheap.
I knew that would get you.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I don't know if you want that as your starter course.
Oh, really?
No, that's a tough course.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it's hilly, too. Like, in that, I don't know if you remember hole four or not, the par five.
It's a dog leg. Specific holes.
Yeah, I do. The dog leg left that goes down about, it's like 525 yards.
Yeah, I actually do. Yeah.
Yeah, you probably had a hell of a time on that one.
Yeah, I definitely Same. Did. And I think that Same. Was the hole off the tee box where on my drive, I hit the ball right at the green on the on hole three,
yeah,
like right next to us.
Yeah, they call that the Nick Wilson.
And people were putting there, and the guys were like, yeah, I mean, they did the whole four thing. And I was like, oh, that's actually a thing. I had no idea.
So, but, you didn't know saying four when you hit your ball in other people's area was a thing?
No idea that was a thing.
He didn't know what a scramble was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know what a scramble was?
Yeah, that's what you should have been playing.
I do want to know, like, what... So, all right, you're there. You get, let's say you have spikes on. I don't think you probably have spikes.
No.
But let's say you're, like, you're approaching the tee box for the first time. What questions are you asking?
I ask the guys, how do I stand? That was the first question I asked.
How do you stand?
That's a great question.
Have you ever seen, you've existed on planet Earth though?
Well, sure, but like you can get in a batter's box and hit a baseball, but there are also correct ways to actually your stance and to hit the baseball. But I know how to do that because I'm a baseball fan. I'm not a golfing fan. So I go up there and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I can whack this ball the best I can, but how should I try and do this? And they're like, you know, bend your knees a little bit. Make sure your posture is straight.
Are you golfing with other good golfers or are they just whatever? Yeah, so it's blind leading the blind.
But it's people who like to golf.
Yes.
And it's a friendly environment. I think the environment is the right one for his first time.
Did you do a scramble then or did you just went off on your own?
So we didn't really do scrambles, but out of the 9 holes we played, I probably played off my drive 4 times.
Ooh,
other ones, I was just like, all right, I can't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Can't do this. I'm giving up. I'm dropping my ball wherever one of the.
It's
one
all
of the
about
guys
pace
dropped.
Of play. You got to be. Yeah. You got to keep the thing moving.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Now, take us there. We're on the now. Is the first? Do you remember what the first hole was? Was it like a par 3 or par 4?
I do. So it's a par 4. It's actually there's trees off to the right, but this is more of a. It's actually like one of the steeper dogleg rights that you'd find, where you have to hit your first shot about 215 yards. And then it sets up for an approach shot in. But you got to get it about 200, 215.
All right.
I hear you got a real chance of not getting out that far for yourself, I'd imagine. And then you're stuck in a very in an awkward situation. I don't know if you know this about me, but I have like Rain Man-esque memory when it comes to golf course holes.
I think we know that now.
Okay, you know it now.
I think we now.
If you didn't know
moment,
it before, I didn't know if you know it, but I remember these things.
So how'd the first shot go?
So I actually peaked on the first hole.
That's how it goes, because you're not thinking about it. You don't know it.
My first drive was my best, and both the guys were like,
my goodness. You are uphill, which helps too.
Yeah. Yeah, we are uphill, and they were both like, my goodness, you're going to be great at this.
They thought you
we
were
can't beat
awesome.
You in anything. Yeah, they thought I was awesome.
Can't beat you. Are you the guy in the group that is like awesome at everything?
I am very competitive. So even if I'm not awesome at it, I will try my best to be awesome at it in spite of everybody else.
This golf's not your game then, I gotta tell you.
This gets so funny because if you guys don't know Jake, if you haven't picked up yet, Jake is one of the kindest, quietest, hardest working people on the staff.
Yeah.
So the idea that he becomes like Michael Jordan at quarters at anything he plays outside
we've
of
gotten,
here.
We've gotten hints of this too in other spots. He does this about like on the weekend and him having some drinks.
We've gotten whiffs, but we haven't seen the whole shebang.
Playing some of these yard games and all of a sudden he treats it like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals.
So,
and he's not Halliburton.
All right, what was your first welcome to golf moment?
My first welcome to golf, I think it was just losing the ball over and over and over again. And I felt so bad.
Off your tee shot?
That, but really just anywhere. I think on the day I only lost four balls, which I was actually pretty happy about. But I was
better than
using
Lance Armstrong.
I was using their equipment. Like I was using their balls, their tees, their clubs, everything. So I felt really bad when I would lose a ball and they were like, oh, don't worry about it. It was just a Costco ball. And I was like, no, I'm going to go walk over there. I'm going to get the ball because it's not mine. And I'm going to come back and probably hit it in the exact same place and have to do it over again.
So we got to lose the preciousness with that. We all lose each other's balls. Somebody's got to say this. Like the reality is you're out there. This is about, unless you're golfing by yourself, this is about camaraderie. This is about relaxing. It's about communing with your friends in nature. Do you feel like your life like loosened up throughout?
I almost did lose a guy's club too, so that wasn't great.
Oh, is it? Did you just leave it behind, or did you do the club chuck?
Which I realized. I think it was
club chucking. He's not Happy Gilmore.
If he's Michael Jordan at quarters, I'm going to assume the man's got a short fuse when he's competing.
What kind of problem do we have with you here with your temper and your competitiveness?
No, I don't know. Probably growing up with an older brother who was the exact same way.
Did you say an unforgivable word?
No, but I did say a phrase on hole 8. I'm not going to say that phrase, but they were both like, initials, hey, we got Jake to say that on hole 8, finally.
Are the initials M and F?
No.
That's a common Nick Wilsonism when I'm golfing.
My friend.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, nailed it.
All right, but so you said, did we answer the welcome to golf moment?
Yeah, I think just losing the balls and then nearly losing
the club. Did you have fun is the thing I want to know. Did you have fun?
So, by the
that was
last,
a long so.
The last two holes were the most fun.
You're just not competitive enough for golf. It's okay. I understand
I mean, that's pretty much the answer there. But the last two holes were the most fun because none of us cared at the last two holes. It took us like 2.5 hours.
Nobody should have cared to begin with. Nine. It should have just been all about fun anyway.
Well, sure. But the last two holes, we were like, I don't care. We're just going to be hitting it. We did a whole thing where it's like, if you got over 10 strokes on a hole, you got a 10. You're not counting up higher than 10. Yeah, you got a 10.
JP would not allow that. Look at him. He's twitching over there.
No, 10's a good. That's good. You guys have never played before. You should. You should cap it at 10. Well, I guess pace of play. We got to keep this thing moving.
Well, yeah, we did let one group go ahead of us on hole like 2 or 3, and then we had some people behind us.
Was it the hole that you almost hit on the par 3?
Yes.
Yeah, they learned their lesson. Yeah,
it wasn't the same people, though. It was while we were waiting for the people that we let ahead of us go.
You guys are a whole group of four people that don't know what they're doing. That's basically my nightmare.
I just want to point out that this whole thing, it's like, all right, what did we learn? And JP's like, you follow the rules? You pace play, right? You got pace play. You're Johnny Rulebook over there.
It's not Johnny Rulebook. It's about the idea that I don't want you having a 5.5 hour run. I don't want myself to have a 5.5 hour run.
I think it was pretty, like, nobody was waiting.
There's a couple common things that you have to abide by if you are not
not
an actual or golf in any sort of consistent basis. Nobody cares if you suck. Literally nobody cares. Just be quick about it.
Nobody was waiting for us, though.
Just be quick about it.
It's not just golf, by the way.
Yeah.
But it was.
That's why the correlation is so strong there.
It was a par 35 for all 9 holes. And I think my final score was like 78.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
But that's not even accurate because we capped it at 10 at one point and I was getting like 16.
You don't have to be
on every single hole.
So I got a 90. He got a 78.
It took me like 10 strokes to get on the green and then another 6 strokes to actually get in the hole.
See why I said pace of play? We got to keep this thing moving?
No,
I was. I mean, they were quick.
That's
little
not
taps,
an easy course, by the way. That's not an easy course.
Yeah,
he should have done. So when Nick goes on his cabin trip, he goes to, what's it called? Little Apple?
Little Apple.
Little Apple. And like, if you look that up,
Ohio.
That's like a 3,700 yard, like the whole entire thing. Like that's what you should have gone on. An executive course. That's just like everything is very well contained. You did not do that, but that's okay.
I know we said this at the beginning. Why didn't you just do scramble? Best ball.
For sure. That's another great idea. Like scramble would have been the best idea.
I mean, nobody really brought it up, but it ended up just being what it was because I couldn't hit a drive anywhere close to where it should have been.
Does this make you want to be a good golfer now and do this more?
Wait, do you hate golf more now?
You just quit.
No, I don't hate golf more. I actually appreciate it. Okay. I actually appreciate it a little bit more because I realized the gap between what I did on Saturday and pro golf is so wide, maybe the widest of any pro sport, that I'm like, yeah, no, I have no interest, though, myself getting any better at golf.
Yeah, I mean, double the amount of holes, and they also still beat you by 10 strokes.
Exactly.
So, all right, so you have no interest in getting better at golf. would you go again?
I think I would. I think there would have to be more beers involved in that experiment.
How many beers did you have to begin with?
That's a good question. I had three.
Oh. And did you golf 9 or 18?
9. Two and a half hours.
That's about good. Yeah. Every three holes, another beer.
You should have started off with a couple shots or something, just so you knew you got into it.
Oh, that's a pro move. That's really smart.
I think I have to show up that way. Like hole one, start that way.
Take an Uber.
And then, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe have them pick me up, something
you
like that.
You need to see the bar ahead of time.
Exactly.
And then go. That's what, for a lot of people, that's all the golf course is just one big bar.
Yeah, right? I'm not going to care about actually hitting the ball far or straight. Like, my one friend, Matt, he was so like sincere in trying to help me and trying to show me the basics, and it just didn't work for me, but he was actually putting in the effort. So next time I just won't care about those type of things.
I got to say, I think the next thing you do is you try and go golfing by yourself.
Or go to the range or something, you know?
No, I don't think the range. I've been to a range before and didn't enjoy it. I don't think the range is an approximation of what you experience while golfing.
It's very different because you got the best lie possible on the range every time.
Well, yeah. Well, I think just like
that's what makes. I mean, golf is so like tough because all the different lies.
The distance in between your tee shot and your next shot, the way you feel on the approach, if depending on where you are on the green. Like, I just that hole's over. I got to move to the next one. Mm-hmm. I think there are just things in golf that you can't replicate at a driving range.
For sure there are.
Like, I think driving range is to get better at golf. I think golfing is to learn how to enjoy golf.
I feel like he's in the needs to get better at golf stage.
No, I disagree.
You know, there are other countries that, like, you have to actually pass. Like, in order to play a full round and actually try that out, you have to go with, like, an instructor and then like pass a proficiency test and shoot below a number before they let you on the course.
Which oppressive country is this?
I think it's Ireland.
Sounds miserable.
Ireland? What are we doing? You got bigger fish to fry than...
It's like a thing in a lot of European countries. It's like how it's set up.
I mean, I know like...
You have to like pass a proficiency test for golf to be able to play.
In fairness, I know Ireland is like the originator of golf just down the road. But, I mean, come on. We're being a little retentive there of a certain variety if we're gonna I actually think we should go golfing as a show.
Golfing, now that sounds fun,
because here's the thing. I've been with JP is not judgmental, even though he's 10 times better than I am. I think all of you would enjoy drinking with me, because I'm even more unhinged when I have a few belts and play golf. I think this could be fun. Oh, man.
Jake did not seem like he wanted that at all. Matt got really excited, though. I could tell Matt got excited.
I'm awful at golf, but I'll go out and play.
I would have to be Matt, though.
Or, Jake, is this like a once-a-year thing for you, then? Is that what this is?
That's where the competitiveness would come out, because I would have to beat Mac.
Be better than Mac?
Yes. I would have to beat Mac.
Well, we're playing a scramble. So, like, better is relative. You could just have a couple lucky shots if you both stink. Well,
or maybe we don't play a scramble. Maybe we don't. Maybe we
wait. Do we each have a handicap and one of them's one of the other guys on the show?
Maybe we bet on the two of them versus each other.
All right, I call Mac because that's my apprentice there.
Well, I mean, he just said he shot a 78 in 9 holes.
No. You guys take each other's sides at all time if we have each other's back when he golfs poorly.
Yeah, I just screwed myself here, didn't
JP. JP does not like this. He was so into show golf.
I want to see the two of them. I want to see the battle.
You do constantly say that he's part of your tree, so.
That's true.
He is part of my radio tree.
By the way, we have a shared tree. We can't just claim individual people. It's our tree. It's a trust tree with a nest.
Yeah, but I feel like the tree was rooted with Jake in the night show with me.
Yeah.
And that's like, and so like now it's blossoming and it's like, yes, we share Jake. But anyway, like the roots was overtime with Jonathan Peterlin and Jake being on that.
Now, the Peterlin pass did make a cameo on Saturday. I wonder how many Peterlin passes I'm getting golfing against Mac.
The Peterlin pass.
It made a cameo?
It did. One of my buddies is a big fan of the show, the station, and he gave me a Peterlin pass for one of my shots.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It'd be interesting if we had your friend call in to see how different he would think you went.
That's what we need. We need another observer into the mix. I'm sure you did great. I wish you would have loved it, though. I really do. I wish you would have loved it.
I think it takes more than one time.
Yeah.
I really do think if you go by yourself.
I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, I think that's a solid step forward.
Did you have any pure shots? Nick knows what I'm talking about, where it just feels so effortless and so easy. The type of shots that just make you want to come back for more.
Maybe two.
Yep.
Not that sounds about right. Not a maybe. You know it when it happened.
Was it, were they drives?
One of them. Like my, like I said, my first drive was
okay,
one
first
of them.
Drive? Okay.
But every shot after that, like most of the time, it would just roll. Like I would barely get any air on it and it would just roll.
No, that's still a good shot.
Well, I mean, sometimes it rolls far enough, but other times it's like, yeah, I'm actually so far away that I do need some lift, but nada.
216-474-0092. You know what? I don't know why I threw out the number there. I just want to say well done. And until we golf together, well done. You know what?
Yeah, golf, I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Whoa. Golf clap.
Oh, good call.
Great stuff out of Jake Murren there. In case we missed it, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.